Today on Straight Talk Africa, the South Sudan peace process collapsed last week. This following an international deadline on March 5th. Observers insist the two principals must set aside their differences and end the conflict. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa. It's Wednesday, March 11th. I am Shaka Salih.
And hello, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we'll talk about the implications of the stalled South Sudan peace talks in the Ethiopian capital of Addis Ababa.
We have a lot to delve into on today's program. Coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll share some thoughts from our audience who sent in emails, Facebook, and Twitter comments. We'll reveal some of them ahead on Straight Talk Africa.
But first, the people of South Sudan continue to suffer greatly due to the ongoing political turmoil and violence brought about by the government and the rebel group, SPLM, in opposition. My colleague, Paul Sisco, has more. Sorry for the technical difficulties, and now joining us here in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests. Garang Ding Okong, the South Sudanese ambassador to the United States. I have to say frankly, Ambassador Garang, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be on your show and happy to your listeners and viewers.
It's a pleasure. And of course, Johnny Tanza Mabusu, managing editor and host of South Sudan in Focus, the voice of America's 30-minute weekly English language to Africa. It's a pleasure, of course, having you again.
Thank you, Shaka. It's always a pleasure to be on this show.
Well, I gather that we can now go for the package. So the people of South Sudan continue to suffer greatly due to the ongoing political turmoil and violence brought about by the government and the rebel group SPLM in opposition. My colleague Paul Sisco has more.
For many South Sudanese citizens, any signs of hope for peace in the world's youngest nation were again dashed after talks between President Salva Kiir and his longtime rival Riek Machar collapsed in Addis Ababa without a deal. Political discord between the two leaders has brought ethnic violence, and now there appears to be no resolution to the standoff in sight. A leaked African Union document says a transitional government is needed in South Sudan and that neither Kiir or Machar should serve in it, reportedly because of their alleged responsibility for the, quote, organized massacres and large-scale violence, end quote. South Sudanese rebel leader and former Vice President Riek Machar says the government is not willing to change its position.
We have done our best to arrive to a peace agreement, but it has not become possible because the positions being presented by the government.
President Salva Kiir had little comment.
I have no comment.
Michael McQuay, a spokesperson for the government of South Sudan, denies that the talks were a major setback.
I don't agree with the conclusion that the talks have failed, but we say we are suspending the talks for further consultations.
Sayoum Mesfin is chief mediator for the Intergovernmental Authority on Development.
The level of damage of confidence, the level of mistrust that you see between these leaders is unbelievable, and they have not been able to overcome this, to forgive with each other and excuse their people by cutting a deal and an agreement to transform the country into a peaceful one ruled by constitutional rules.
UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon expressed profound disappointment at the talk's conclusion, and the U.S. State Department strongly condemned the lack of political leadership to resolve this man-made conflict. Earlier, the UN Security Council adopted a resolution to impose limited sanctions on South Sudan. U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Samantha Power.
Those who frustrate peace must begin to pay the price.
More peace talks are expected, but no date has been scheduled. Meanwhile, the death toll is mounting. Over 10,000 people have been killed. The UN believes there were 12,000 child soldiers involved in the conflict there last year. Upwards of 2 million people have been displaced, and an estimated 2.5 million South Sudanese are facing severe food shortages. Paul Sisko, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. And before we begin our discussion, I am now joined by the former Vice President of South Sudan, Dr. Riek Machar, currently the chairman of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition. He joins us by a telephone link up from Addis Ababa. Good evening, Dr. Machar.
Good evening, Chako.
How are you today?
Well, I'm okay. Physically, okay.
I see. Well, you've been fighting for over a year now, Dr. Machar, and there are a lot of people, frankly, who were hoping that you would meet the deadline of the talks, which was last week on Thursday, March 5th. Why didn't you sign on the deal?
Well, there was no agreement to be signed. There was no deal. I'm disappointed, like the rest of the South Sudanese people and also the rest of the world. So there was no deal on the table.
Are you suggesting that whatever you were supposed to append your signatures on was not something perhaps that reflected the fundamental root causes of the problems of South Sudan?
You know, we, from our viewpoint, there are three fundamental issues. The system of governance, we have suggested that we move from the current system to a federal system. On principle, there is agreement, but when we come to details, there is disagreement. As they usually say, the devil is in the details. The second issue is the security arrangements. As you know, the country is split after December 16th. The country is split politically. Even the security organs, the army, national security, the police, and the rest, they split. Even the public service is split. So we did not see a deal that would correct this, that will give adequate security arrangements for all to be confident of. Number three, you know that the AU has refused to publish its report on the conflict in South Sudan because a commission was formed. The AU has not published or made public this report. Everybody has been asking for it to be made public, and because it would address the issues of accountability, justice, reconciliation, healing, and even institutional reform. All in all, we couldn't agree on these issues of accountability. So there was no deal on the table ready.
I have seen the leaked report of the African Union Commission, of course, which was led by former Nigerian President General Olusegun Obasanjo, retired but certainly not tired. And among other things, actually, it indicates that the report would like to see President Salva Kiir and Dr. Riek Machar stepping aside not participating in the proposed, for example, transitional arrangement. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I heard about that. My concern is, what have I done wrong? I am the victim. I am the aggrieved. The person who planned the massacre in Juba is President Salva Kiir. So if his punishment is to ensure that he does not participate in the transitional government of national unity, what is my fault there? I was chased away. The world proved that there was no coup as claimed by the government. And the massacre was committed in Juba by the president using his own troops. And I believe Ambassador Garang knows about it.
To what extent, Dr. Riak, would you say you have confidence in IGAD, the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, as a neutral or non-partisan mediator in as far as the talks are concerned?
Well, I don't think that IGAD is non-partisan or neutral. You know that Uganda is part of the talks at the level of the summit, and Uganda is part of the conflict, is fighting all over South Sudan, starting from the Equatoria, Greater Upper Nile now, Greater Bahr Ghazal. It's part of the war, and it is also part of the resolution of the conflict. So you can't describe it as a neutral body, that is IGAD. But we have accepted to negotiate under such a system, yes.
How do you respond to some who will say that peace talks between President Salva Kiir and Dr. Riek Machar, really, is like a couple planning a political marriage while concentrating on political divorce?
Well, you see, I have told you the fundamental issues which we would like to address, and they are here. This is system of governance. We have proposed federalism. They have accepted it in principle, but we differ in the details. We have also said we need to address the security issues by having adequate security arrangements. This is important for all the people in South Sudan. And then the accountability agenda. I think this if we reach an agreement on these three issues and the other procedural issues related to them, we should strike a deal, but we haven't.
Again, looking at the AU Commission leaked report, which obviously has not been released publicly, it would seem that the mediators, in fact, had done their job, and they had actually put out a deal that probably you and a lot of others could have lived with. But apparently, the deal was changed by the heads of IGAD. I'm talking about the presidents and the prime minister of Ethiopia. Have you heard about that?
Well, you know, one of the difficulties in the IGAD mediation is the complication which comes in when a summit is called. They had called several summits, and we find ourselves negotiating with the heads of state and government at every summit, and at most of the time, and specifically on the 25th of August, this was the case when even the mediators were sidelined. So we have problems.
So what do you sincerely finally think that must happen in order for you to stop and end the fighting so that the ordinary people of South Sudan, in fact, the vast majority of South Sudanese can again begin to live their lives in peace and harmony. Dr. Riak.
We want to strike a peace agreement still under this imperfect mediation system, the IGAD, but we know that the talks collapsed, and there was declaration that this mechanism did not yield fruits, but a new mechanism will be introduced. So we're waiting for the new mechanism so that we can resume the talks.
I see. Well, we're going to have to stop right there. I would like to thank Dr. Riak Machar, chairman of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition, who joined us on the telephone link up from Addis Ababa. We'll now pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA South Sudan. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
The conflict in South Sudan started in December 2013 when Salva Kiir, from the ethnic Dinka group, fired then-Vice President Riek Machar, an ethnic Noor, and accused him of plotting to overthrow the regime. Machar denied the allegations and accused Kiir of carrying out violent purges. The accusations sparked violence among the two ethnic groups, causing the death of thousands and leaving millions displaced. Several NGOs have accused both warring sides of committing crimes against humanity, including mutilation, rape, and extrajudicial executions. President Kiir has warned that the country is at risk of famine if the violence continues.
As Nigeria heads to the polls March 28th, Voice of America reporters head to the field, covering the election campaigns and the issues for Nigeria and all of Africa. Turn to Voice of America for the facts. Nigeria Decides 2015. What happens there matters throughout Africa. VOA has the largest team of international journalists in Nigeria and surrounding countries, counting down to the March 28th election and beyond. VOA's Nigeria Decides 2015 coverage is on radio with Daybreak Africa, Africa News Tonight, and Nightline Africa. On television with Africa 54 and Straight Talk Africa. And stay on top online. Go to voanews.com. Special Nigeria Decides 2015 coverage is underway now. A commitment to Africa from Voice of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui. And today we are talking about the implications of the stalled South Sudan peace talks in Addis Ababa, the seat of the African Union. Our distinguished guests are Garang Ding Akwong, the South Sudanese ambassador to the United States, and John Tanza Mabusu, managing editor and host of South Sudan in Focus, the Voice of America 30-minute weekday English language radio internet broadcast, which airs Monday through Friday at 7:30 p.m. East African time. Once again, my fellow East Africans, you're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Now, Galang, it's been a very, very long time since you used to follow Straight Talk Africa. How do you feel now that you are on the set yourself?
Lastly, I'm on the program.
Terrific.
I've been a fan of the program since 90s.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say that the feeling is mutual. I'm glad that we could actually have you in the studio. You just heard your compatriot, a former, of course, vice president of your country, talk about how, in fact, there was no deal. Come Thursday, there was no deal worth signing, really. How do you react to that, Mr. Ambassador?
Yeah, thank you very much. My reaction would be that we are all disappointed that there was no deal in Addis Ababa.
Mm-hmm.
But since we are still talking, we are hoping that one day we'll arrive to a deal. But let me also comment on the points raised by Dr. Riek Machar. I and Dr. Riek Machar have been in this government since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So we know what happened in the government. We know what happened in the time leading to the crisis.
Yes.
Dr. Masha will recall that in March 2013,
mm-hmm.
he and Group 11 called for a meeting
mm-hmm.
in the presidency
mm-hmm.
where they called the president. He himself was there.
Mm-hmm.
Pagan was there.
Mm-hmm.
Beng Alor was there.
Mm-hmm.
And they called for the president to step down. That mm-hmm. was way, way back before the crisis.
Was that the famous press conference?
No, I'm coming to that.
Mm-hmm.
That was on third. Not third. That was in March
mm-hmm.
2013. Then, in that meeting, they called the president to step down, and each one of them expressed his desire and to lead the South.
Yes.
The president told them that he didn't have any problem.
Mm-hmm.
But let us go back to our institutions,
mm-hmm.
which are the SPLM,
mm-hmm.
Congress,
mm-hmm.
and then the people of South Sudan.
Mm.
That was the meeting of March. In July the 4th, Dr. Riek Machar gave interview to Reuters,
mm-hmm.
in which, this is the Reuters reporter,
mm-hmm.
the deputy leader of a newly independent South Sudan has issued a veiled warning to the country's Western-backed president, Salva Kiir, telling him to stand down and vowing to replace him before or after the election by 2015.
Right.
This was July,
mm-hmm.
before the crisis.
This is 2013?
This was 2013.
Yeah, we know,
that
of course.
That was the build-up. To the Dr. Maria Victoria coup. In December.
December 15.
When the president was in France,
mm-hmm.
himself and others went to SPLM headquarters and called the president by all names.
Right.
He's a dictator.
Right.
He's a failure and
right.
all this. Then what do anybody expect from a leader to do?
I hear what you're saying, Mr.
Victoria
Ambassador.
Cannot claim that he's innocent when he has been building up for the climax of 2015.
In other words, it really takes two to tango.
Yes.
What do you think about this, John? We obviously cannot deny the fact that some of these things occurred, but what about the fact that perhaps we should, in fact, compare those things that occurred then to, frankly, the suffering that your cousins, your mothers, your fathers, your aunts are going through?
Well, Shaka, before the conflict developed to what it is right mm-hmm. now, it was a disagreement within the political party,
mm-hmm.
the ruling party.
Right.
Dr. Riek and some other members of the party, like Pagana Moon.
Were those Madame, members of the political bureau?
Yes, the members of the political bureau mm-hmm. came up and called for a convention, because these are some of the party mechanism
mm.
for, you know, elections and reforms and democracy within the party.
Mm.
But this party convention was postponed several times. And then Dr. Riek and the rest of the other members of the political bureau
mm.
reminded President Kiir that it's time for us to have this convention so that we can address some other party issues. And that is where the problem all started. And to come to your question about the suffering of the people, when I was in Addis, I spoke to several stakeholders, civil society groups, faith-based groups, and even the youth. When I asked them, how do people at home feel? And the answer is people are disappointed. They want an end to this fighting because they did not expect independent South Sudan to be an arena of fighting.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to enjoy what they call the freedom that they have been fighting for. They want to enjoy the fruits of the freedom. And so the common sentiment from people at home is that this fighting must end.
How do you respond to some people, frankly, who have been saying that the only reason, for example, why South Sudan is an independent sovereign nation today is largely because at one time you had a uniting factor. You had a uniting factor, Khartoum, because you had, according to these reports, very, very strong hatred of Khartoum. But that since you separated from Khartoum, there is what they call lack of a vision to change society into a viable democratic entity built on the idea of a common future.
Well, I will agree to some extent with those predictions because what South Sudan went through right after independence is a post-conflict scenario.
Mm-hmm.
When a country goes into a conflict, after the conflict there are lots of issues that need to be addressed. There are issues of democracy, issues of nation building, issues of human resource, issues of distribution of wealth, and the list is just endless. And so right after independence, the post-conflict scenario was not handled the right way.
Right.
There was a scramble for positions, if you like. Everybody wants to be in the top seat. Everybody is struggling to secure a job in the government. In fact, in South Sudan, the government is the only employer. Most people want to work with the government. But the truth of the matter is, when the people of South Sudan were fighting the long war with Khartoum, of course, there were a lot of things that were swept under the carpet. Postponed, if you like. They would say, let us finish with our common enemy first, and then we will come to address these issues. And these issues were prolonged for quite a long time, and that's why it erupted. For instance, it's an open secret that some communities in South Sudan don't coexist peacefully from time immemorial due to the nature of their social and socioeconomic activities. For instance, take example of cattle keepers.
Pastoralists.
Yes, they don't see each other eye to eye. I mean,
with cultivators.
Yes.
But that's not unique to South Sudan because you have the same dynamics, for example, in Rwanda. You have the same dynamics in Burundi. You have the same dynamics, as a matter of fact, in parts of my country, Uganda.
Yeah, but the issue with South Sudan is there's been lack of institutions, of governance, that will address your issues. If you steal my property, I can go to court and you should be taken to court. But the courts in South Sudan are compromised. In fact, a lot of analysts are saying the judiciary is partisan. So where do you go? Which court do you go to, bring your cases there in case your animal is stolen? So in the absence of a system, people then take refuge in their community for protection because they think where they are, their brothers and sisters will rally behind them to fight whoever wants to come and attack them or take their property. And that's why the situation of South Sudan is a little bit peculiar.
In fact, some observers have gone to the extent of saying that the only thing that the government in Juba has accomplished so far is basically institutionalizing corruption and impunity. Is that something you'd like to respond to, Mr. Ambassador?
Thank you. First of all, let me say that the issues you have raised and my friend here has responded to are issues of post-independence, as he said, and especially countries that emerge from wars.
Right.
Our independence was not peaceful independence. It came through wars.
Certainly not, yeah.
So there were a lot of infrastructure that were destroyed.
Yes.
Schools were destroyed, roads were destroyed, hospitals were destroyed. So we were trying to rebuild the country.
Can we come a little back to that later, because time is not our best ally?
Yeah.
You're tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariama Jaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the outstanding and fantastic feedback we've received from our audience through social media from across the African continent. But now, here is our letter of the week.
Omunua Okugbo from Abuja in Nigeria writes, many steps can and should be taken to bring peace and prosperity to South Sudan. President Salva Kiir and opposition leader Riek Machar should de-emphasize fame, power, money, and stress the importance of developing South Sudan. The country's officials should now craft a roadmap to development that is acceptable to all ethnic and religious groups in the country. The development of South Sudan is what matters most, and not who occupies the state house. Finally, the African Union should take the initiative and play a mediatory role in South Sudan's peace process.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. Call direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to keep your questions brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidhu, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Talks to end 15 months of conflict in South Sudan are at a standstill after discussions collapsed last Friday without an agreement, violating a March 5th deadline imposed earlier by mediators. It was the latest blow to peace efforts in the political dispute between President Salva Kiir and his former vice president, Riek Machar. Mediators say they could not persuade either side to make a meaningful compromise. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, asking what steps can be taken to end the continuous rivalry between President Salva Kiir and former vice president and rebel leader, Riek Machar? Well, first of all, thank you all for using our social media platforms to give us your thoughts. Let's begin with a comment from Michael Babu Duki from Kampala, Uganda, who writes, the rivalry between President Salva Kiir and Riek Machar is just one of the latest manifestations of political greed by African leaders. The only real solution is for the two principals to exit the political stage in South Sudan and allow more citizen-leaning and development-oriented leaders to take the lead and move Africa's youngest nation forward. Well, another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOA South Sudan.